And we're joined by Dr. Paul Wicks. Dr. Wicks, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
We want to talk about something that's very difficult. Our furry friends are near and dear to our heart. And unfortunately, just like our human friends, our pet friends also become afflicted with cancer. Isn't that right?
Yes, they sure do.
Talk about how common that is for one of our animals to get cancer.
Well, I get asked that question quite a bit, actually, Terry. Neoplasia and tumors, which are benign, tend to be grouped together under the general heading of cancer, which is malignant. And together, those are reported at rates of 1 in 4 for our pets. And as the pets get older, once they reach the age of 10, that rate increases to 1 in 2.
Wow, that is extremely high. I knew that a lot of pets did get cancer, but that is extremely high. I would think, as a pet owner, I'm thinking right now, what do I check for? What if I'm going to do an exam myself real quick to see if we need to visit a veterinarian? What should I look for?
Well, generally, this should be done once a month, actually. You're looking for lumps and bumps and sores that aren't healing, things that are bleeding, that little sores that are bleeding that shouldn't be there. You open their mouth, you look around in their mouth, you pull up their ears, look inside their ears. It's just a general nose-to-tail inspection, if you would. You got to make sure you look under their undercarriage, make sure there's no lumps there. And that should be done every month. And that's a big part of prevention, and of course a big part of cancer prevention is early detection, and that's one of the better ways of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually have an older dog. She is 16 years old, and a lump developed on the back of her head, and we went to the vet, and it was benign. It was not cancerous. Is that more common in dogs that I've heard, that they'll get these lumps on them throughout the body as they get older?
Well, that's true, but lumps... there's benign lumps and there's cancerous lumps that they can get on the body. And without doing a surgical biopsy of the lump, you can't tell if it's, well, like a benign one, which would be better, or a cancerous one, which is malignant and is probably spread.
So really, if we find a bump at all, we need to be making an appointment with our veterinarian to have that checked out.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Now, what about when our pet is diagnosed with cancer? Is there a decision, I don't know a right way to ask this, but a time to say, okay, we're just going to let them live and be comfortable, even though they do have this cancer, because they are at an advanced age? Do you ever talk with patients about that?
Yeah, that's a conversation I get to have quite frequently, Terry.
Must be a tough one, too.
It is. Well, as our pets get older and develop these problems, it's oftentimes to their advantage, actually, for the treatment for that cancer to be either a hospice type of a care or humane euthanasia. It's a difficult decision to make.
And it just really stresses the fact that all of our loved ones do become afflicted with cancer, even if they are our pets. And is there a difference in species? We're talking about dogs versus cats as the most common animals. Is there a difference in the rate of cancer there?
No, basically all dogs and cats as a group get this cancer at the same rate. Horses, they get cancer quite often too, and so do cows. So,
and again, we're talking with Dr. Paul Wicks of Aledo, and we're talking about pet cancer, something that is actually very common in our furry friends. Now, doctor, if you want to start treatment for your pets, what are the options that are available if they do have cancer?
Well, treatment options for cancer in our pets are basically similar to what you would have for a person. You have surgical removal, of course, and then there's chemotherapy and radiation therapy.
And there are side effects that come with all of these treatments. How do we help our pets through these?
Well, the surgical side effects are just wound healing and pain, and we give them pain relievers. Chemotherapy actually has very few side effects in our pets as compared to people. In fact, the majority of the pets will show no side effects from chemotherapy. Radiation therapy is more difficult because that's actually injuring tissue, and that can be quite painful, and we do have to do some additional pain medication for those patients.
We talked about checking for the lumps, but are there other signs that our pets may have cancer that may not be so visual?
Oh, sure. There's lots of subtle signs of cancer. Wounds that don't heal, loss of appetite, vomiting, diarrhea, a chronic cough. Weight loss is a huge one. Behavioral changes, any of those things can indicate a cancer, or they could indicate that there's another problem that we need to address.
And then let's talk about being proactive. What can we do to help prevent cancer in our pets? And starting with those environmental factors out there, what can we do to help keep them safe?
Well, the biggest thing that we can do is to avoid exposures to herbicides and smoke. And of course, sunlight is also a risk factor for our pets. We want to keep them so that they have shade. The biggest risk factor that we have direct control over is the obesity and a good quality of diet for our pets.
And that's usually our failing, because we like to do that under the table dog scrap thing.
Yep, we think we're helping them out, but oftentimes we increase the risks of some other things besides cancer with that too.
So as they make advancements then in cancer treatment, those could benefit our pets as well?
Yeah, actually, Terry, the veterinary and medical oncologists have been working together for a number of years, and they've come up with a lot of complementary therapies for both humans and our pets.
All right. Dr. Paul Wicks giving us some insight into cancer and how it affects our loved pets. Dr. Wicks, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Terry.